you know, our chart says the cults, and that's what we're studying. I wanted to, some people have handed me books lately, and in fact, this morning I got a book just as some people walked in, and I hadn't had time to look at it, but just by looking, there's no doubt it's a New Age book, and there's no doubt it's dealing with that everything is energy, that we're just energy, and there's a, I don't know if it's an eternal energy. I hadn't had time to read the book or look at the book, but is it eternal energy or something like that? Then also, somebody handed me this that on Montel, is it Montel? Wait a minute, where are you? Is it on Montel? It's on Montel Williams. I don't know Montel. Okay, I know who he is. Isn't he the guy that shaves his head? Okay. He has a, this is what they tell me, that Sylvia Brown is a psychic that comes on Montel every Wednesday. Did anybody know that? Anybody, y'all ever watch that show? Anybody watch it? You watch it once in a while? Is that, do you ever watch the psychic come on? You've seen her. And here's her books. She's got a bunch of books. Best of Dreams, Spirit Guide, Angels, Guides, let's see, Angel Guides and Ghosts, End of Days Predictions and Prophecies, Visits from the Afterlife, Life on the Other Side, Meditation for Entering the Temple on the Other Side, and The Other Side and Back, A Psychic's Guide to Our World and Beyond. So those are just animals on the other side, the nature of good and evil, spirit of animals, blessings from the other side, wisdom from the afterlife, mystical life of Jesus, an uncommon perspective on the life of Christ, secret society and how they affect our lives today, God, creation, the tools for life, the two Marys, hidden mysteries of mother and wife of Jesus, secret and mysteries of the world, all pets go to heaven, the spiritual lives of the animals we love. The spiritual lives of the animals we love. My animals that I love want to eat and sleep. I brought them to church, and they ran all over everywhere, and I had to go put them in the car. That's the last time I brought them to church. Sort of like a lot of your children. Just kidding. Where, I didn't say that. I don't mean that, of course. Oh, boy. Do what? I don't know. I don't want to get any letters. Everybody knows I'm kidding. Well, here's what we're going to look at, Lord willing. Here's what we're looking at. The three. I think the next slide should be the big three. No, get a little bit further. It should be marked on which slide we start with. There it is. We're looking at three things: astrology, fortune telling, witchcraft, and devil worship. That's under this occult thing. We touched a little bit on astrology, just got into it, and Lord willing, we'll finish that and get into. That's why I wanted you to have both handouts: the occult part one and the occult part two, because we'll get into some more things as well. Lord willing. So why is there so much of this occult now? That's one of the things we talked about a little bit last time, and we saw people are turning away from materialism. It's empty, but they're not turning to biblical Christianity, and that's the thing that's so sad about the whole thing is that, and some of the things, I've been reading some books lately, and I've talked to you about this, called The Essential Church, and a book called Revolution, and another book, and they're all basically saying that the church is losing the age group 18 to about 30, that about 80% of the people 18 years old that are already going to church, when they get 18 to 19, they drop out of church. About 80% of them do, is what they're showing the statistics. And they're saying it's because the church is not doing what it's supposed to do. And it's a possibility that if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that could be another reason so many people turn to this, to the false spiritual stuff, to the occult and the cults. We talked about last week that people want answers, but they're not necessarily going to the Bible to get the answers. And we talked about the Ouija board and all of those things and the mediums and all of that. And Deuteronomy 18, here's what he says. Look at verses 9 through 14. Here's what he said. And this is talking to the nation of Israel. When you enter the land which God, it was the Lord your God, gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. He says there are people groups living in that land. One of the things they were supposed to do is go in and wipe them out and move them out of there. He says, be careful. Don't go in there and then do what they do. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That was they burned their children up. There was a god called Molech that they worshipped that took children sacrifices, baby sacrifices. They would sacrifice their babies. And he says, we're not going to do that. Passes through the fire. One who uses divination, that is trying to tell the future. One who practices witchcraft, that's the spells. One who interprets omens or sorcerer, that's all witchcraft and all that kind of thing. One who casts spells or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of the detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispose, they listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. I read last week the lucky letter, you know, the lucky number letter, and the books and Montel Williams and all this stuff is out there. Well, as we look this morning, I wanted you to think about astrology, okay? This is astrology. And there's a contrast, and I probably have it in your handout. I don't have my handout in front of me, but there's astronomy, which is really the study of the stars, the universe, heavenly bodies. But astrology is the practice of determining life's patterns using the stars. When people say they're astrology, they're not talking about astronomy. Astronomy is telescopes, and we look at the sun and the moon and the stars, and we look at everything, and we try to map it and say it's going to be this. But astrology is different. Astrology is looking at the stars and the skies and try to determine life patterns. And that's where you get horoscope. Horoscope comes from the sign of the star. When people say, what sign are you? What sign are they talking about? Sign of the what? Sign of the what? Zodiac. Where does the zodiac come from? The stars. Yeah, it's the horoscope. It's from astrology. There are a lot of people who will say, I'm a Leo. Like, oh, what does that make you? That makes you an idiot because you're looking at astrology. That's what it makes you. Let me think about it. You're saying that your personality, your life is determined by the movement of the stars? And that by the stars move, somebody's going to be able to predict your future. And so you turn in the newspaper and open it up to the horoscope and look under your sign, which has to do with your stars, and it's going to tell you what your life and your day is going to be. That's what people believe. It's the occult. It assumes the position of the stars and the planets has a direct influence upon people and events. One's life's pattern can be charted by determining the position of the stars at the time of one's birth. That's to know when you were born, what sign you fall under, how all that fits. The chart is called the horoscope. Oh, I'm sorry, go back. Yeah, the horoscope. That's what it is. The key question, what's your sign? The stars and the planets. What does the Bible say? Well, we just read what he said about in Deuteronomy about certain things. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. This is Isaiah 47, verses 13, 14, and 15. But verse 13 says, you are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Now, God is writing, Isaiah is giving the prophecy of God to the nation of Israel, and he's telling them he's going to judge them. And he says, oh, I'm going to judge you, but go ahead and let those people who've been prophesying by the stars, let them stand up and save your life. They can't. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. And beware lest you lift your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Let me ask you a question. You remember when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they went to Mount Sinai, which is another name for Mount Sinai, is Mount Horeb, and then God told the people he was going to appear, right? You remember that? Did he tell them he's going to appear? And Moses went down to the people and said, God's going to appear. Everybody get ready. It's going to be like 3 days. Get yourself ready, right? And then he appeared, didn't he? How did he appear? You may know. What happened? What happened? How did he appear? How did the people see him? Huh? Nobody knows? Yeah, everybody knows. Everybody knows this. What happened is, you remember the big cloud came and the smoke and the cloud and the thunder, and it came to the top of that mountain. This giant cloud came, and lightning and bolts and everything, and there came a sound of a trumpet, and the trumpet got louder and louder and louder. And God said, tell the people to stay down there, and Moses, you come up. And the people said, Moses, you go up. You know, now Moses went up into the cloud, stayed there for a long time, got the top 10 commandments. Before he could get back down with the top 10 commandments, what had they done? They'd broken the top 10. So he threw them down, broke them, and went back up and got 613 commandments. He took those tablets that he broke, and he took the golden calf that they made. What did he do with that golden calf? Ground it up, put it in water, and made them drink it. What did God look like? They did not see him. He says later on, when I appeared to you, I did not show you any form, because if I'd have showed you any form, you would have made an image of it and worshipped it. What do people do? They look to the stars. They look to the sun. They look to the moon. Do people worship the sun? Yes. Who? Huh? Egyptians? Ra, the sun god. One day, Gene and I were driving around. This was back a long time ago. We had Marty and Sharon Toms with us, and we looked up. And there were about four people from a different foreign country. And they were all standing out on a field watching the sun go down. And they were worshiping the sun. I always wanted to stop and go, if you'd like to know the one who created that, I can tell you about him. Because that's just the sun. That's just a star. No, no, no. They were worshiping long before that. The astrologers. The astronomers did. The magi were not astrologers. They were astronomers. Yeah, the astronomers were watching because the prophecy that Daniel had told those people that there would be a star. But the people who are astrologers, they were long before that, because they're all the way back here at the time of Moses and the land before they go in and all the things. It's just there. God said, I'm not going to show you a form, because you know what you'll do? You'll make an image of it and worship it. He says, because already what you do is you look up and you see the sun and you worship that, and the stars and you worship that. He says, beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven and be drawn away to them and worship them. Be careful. Well, why is all this so bad? Well, three things. Number one, it's a false system that looks at the creation rather than the creator. It's a false system. Because the astrologers are all saying that the stars and their alignment tell us the future and guide our lives. They're looking at the creation rather than the creator. It's a false system that does that. Romans 1:25 says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. When the nation of Israel is in Egypt, how many plagues were there? How many? 10 plagues. Each one of those plagues was a plague on one of the gods of Egypt. They had at least 10 gods that they worshipped. Frogs? They worship frogs. Cows, the sun, it came darkness, didn't it? It came dark, they worship the sun. What was the last plague? Death of the firstborn. They worship the firstborn? They worship the firstborn of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was considered a god and his firstborn son was going to be the next god. Every judgment in the book of Exodus on the nation of Egypt was a judgment on false gods. People worship anything. So it's a false system that looks at the creation rather than the creator. Second, lives are based on fate, chance, predetermined by stars. That's why astrology is so bad. It's fate. If something happens to you, what can you say about it? Just the way it is. I was born under those stars, and that's what's going to happen. Is there fate, luck, chance? No, because God's in control. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. We're not at the mercy of fate or luck. There's nothing happens to us by chance. Nothing by chance. Wow. Third, loss of money and time. People get into this stuff and they, you know, you buy stuff and you get this information and it takes money, it takes time. All of these things tie in together. Astrology. Horoscope. It is so ingrained in our culture that people say, "What's your sign?" Right? You know your sign? Do you know your sign? Oh, the sign of the cross. Yeah. Okay. They're like, I bet you most of us in this room would say, "Well, I'm, you know, if I was born here and here, so I'm a Leo." You're a Leo? What makes you a Leo? Because somebody came up with a system somewhere, a false system, and calls you a Leo, and so the rest of your life you're going around and says, "Well, I'm a Leo," or "I'm a Sagittarius." Right? Our sign's the cross, isn't it? The cross of Jesus Christ. Well, with that in mind, let me give you some applications for this lesson, okay? Because we wanted to deal with it. First of all, realize we're in a spiritual battle. There's no doubt about that. You're in a spiritual battle because this is this whole concept, this whole thing of the occult and cults. But we're talking about a cult right now, which would be these things like astrology. Well, we're in a spiritual battle. Two things we can do. Number one is we can put on the full armor of God, because we're not wrestling against who? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against... it's spirit beings. That's where it all comes from. Ouija boards. We talked about that last week. It's a spiritual battle. Dungeons and Dragons. If you think those are games, if you think this is a game, let me ask you something. If it's a game, why in the Word of God did God Himself directly give written revelation to the Jewish people as they got ready to go into the land and told them, don't deal with any of these things if it's just a game? It's not a game. So put on the full armor of God, and number two, walk in the Spirit. You're in a spiritual battle, so we got to walk in the Spirit. Flesh lust against spirit against flesh, contrary one to another. We walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're in that spiritual battle. We must do that. Number two, stay away from the occult. It's dangerous and it's wrong. It is dangerous. Would you like to go fight the devil? Anybody want to? There's a whole bunch of Christians think that's what their job is. They're going to go bind Satan. Best thing you can ever do is draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Put on the full armor of God. Get close to your God as you can. You're not fighting the devil. You're not fighting the occult. So stay away from it. It's dangerous. Dangerous stuff. Okay, before we go further, before we get on to the next one, anybody got questions or comments or anything? We saw a good bit on this last week, especially with the Ouija board and the Dungeons and Dragons and some of those kind of things. We're going to see Jean Dixon in just a minute, a little bit more about her. Yes? It ties a lot of things in. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say one other thing about somebody that asked me to talk about a little contrast between the Harry Potter books and C.S. Lewis, because they're both, some people say, well, they're the same things. I mean, C.S. Lewis is you know, Narnia, and they go there, and there's like kind of the White Witch, and so it's a bad, you know, and should we read C.S. Lewis? And then people say, well, but here's Harry Potter, and there's sorcery and all that, and there's, so they're the same. Well, they're not the same, and let me tell you why. Number one is C.S. Lewis books were all written with a Christian perspective, with the whole goal of everything pointing in there. Aslan is Christ, of course, and when they go to Narnia, and the principles and truths taught in the book. If you read them all and read them all, you'll see that the Harry Potter things are not Christian, and they're about witchcraft and magic and those kind of things. And I think you got to be very careful. I think that what is her name, R.K. Rowling or whatever her name is, she's probably sold more books than just about anybody else. Now, what other books are, if you open up USA Today and you look at the New York Times best-selling books, do anybody know what number one book is? Twilight. You know what number two book is? What's her second book? Anybody know? Stephanie Myers has four of the top five books on the New York Times. She's had four of the top five books now for the last, I think it's 12 weeks. Who's reading Twilight and Eclipse? Who's reading those books? Young girls, not boys. Young boys don't read them. Very few boys read them. They're vampire stories, aren't they? You've never heard of them? I'm sorry. You need to know what's going on. No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. There's a lot of things you don't need to mesh put in your brain to begin with, but they're out there. And a lot of people, that movie and a lot of books and a lot of things. And what's the story about? It's about a vampire. It's about a young vampire boy who drinks blood of animals, but they have a tendency to drink blood of people. You've got to be real careful. So he likes a young girl who falls in love with him. Isn't that right? Isn't that what one of the stories are about? I don't know. I don't know what the movie was about. But the books that she is selling, it's a rampage. It's unbelievable. All you have to do is go New York Times, number one, number two, number three. For a while, the first four, she had the top four spots. Another book kind of slipped up in there the other day. So she was first, second, third, and fifth. Harry Potter's still back again. But I just, you know, and I'm not saying that it's, I'm just saying that what's behind those books is not exactly what we should be playing with. And where do you find that from? Just going on the computer, you're saying. Right. Well, the second lesson we're fixing to get into has the Wiccan, has the witches. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not talking about conservation.
Right.
I'm talking about taking care of things. But there is a worship of creation.
Oh, I think he is right on. Let me just say this, and I'll try to be as nice as I can be. But there are a group of people that actually worship the creation, and they believe that we are a sore on this world and that we're killing the world, that the world is a living thing. There's a thing called Gaia worship, G-I-A-H. And they believe the world is a goddess and that we're polluting the world, we're killing the world, and we're the evil ones. And so there is nothing wrong with conservation and green and trying to do what's good. But remember, this world was put here for us, not us for the world. We are here. We're supposed to oversee the world and take care of it and be representatives of our God and Savior. But there are some people who believe the world is what's God. Mother Earth, in fact, in the witch, I know that's the bell, under the witches that we're going to get to, when they start talking about gods and goddesses, the Mother Earth is one of the key things that they like to put into. I can't find that part right there. There's the Mother Goddess, which ties back to the Earth. Now, there's some people who call the Earth Mother Earth, and they believe that the Earth is, that the Mother Earth is a god, a goddess. And so there is a great truth that there's nothing wrong with saying, let's be wise, let's don't pollute, let's throw away this, let's try to be very wise on how we do with our planet. But at the same time, the planet wasn't there, we're not there for the planet. And there are people who worship the planet and say that we're the evil ones because of what we do. So is that helping any of that? There is a group out there. A bunch of groups, and got to the point that people will believe things. They just make statements about global warming and things that, if you really check it, I don't even know if there's global warming or not. Probably not. But we've got our whole country's going to change its direction. I better stop talking now. But That was just the first bell, right? Okay. Yes. Tolkien, or the Hobbit books, and those. Tolkien was a Christian writer as well. And he and C.S. Lewis used to meet weekly and talk about their books. So The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and The Fellowship of the Rings and The Two Towers and those books, if you read them, I mean, who is the king coming at the end? It's Jesus Christ. That's who it is. You know. So the books aren't bad. Some of them are hard to read. I mean, The Hobbit, when you start reading The Hobbit at first, you're going, I can't even keep up with these names. I got to go back to that little map. I don't even know where this world is, you know. It might be better just to watch the movies. But anyway, that's really good. Yes. Okay, I'm not following you, because the Genesis 6, there is a belief that those were angels that had sexual relations with human beings and polluted the race. And from there, what some people...
That those angels that polluted the race gave the idea of the stars and worshiping the sun or...
It doesn't say any of that. I guess it could be. You know, all of that was wiped out. All of those were wiped out by the flood, so only 8 people came back out of that. But I'm sure the memories of what happened there were true. I don't know about whether that might have been a place where this astrology started. We know that he just tells us that people naturally are going to... I mean, let's say we come in the world fallen, we're dead, we naturally move away from God. I mean, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. So people who are spiritual beings, human beings are spiritual beings. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. So we're going to be looking for anything that we think is spiritual, whether it's UFOs, space invaders from another planet, ghosts. I mean, think about it. What are ghosts? You know, it's supposed to be dead people who come back and have a spirit floating around. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. When a person dies, what happens to their spirit? It's either to be with the Lord or in the ground, in the heart of the earth. You know, that's where it is. There's no such thing as ghost. What ghosts could be is what? Demons. And that's what it really is. Angelic beings, probably. Huh? Is there a hand? Yes. One more hand. And was the second bell ring? It hadn't yet. Okay, we're still in great shape. Tolkien. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the question, and he's got a good point. Why would C.S. Lewis write books like that? Why would Tolkien write books like that? Well, number one, if you read Lewis and you talk about his life, he wrote those books for his children, his grandchildren, his nieces and nephews. He wrote those books so that he would his goal was to use the Chronicles of Narnia to teach truths about from a child viewpoint, because In all fairy tales and all books, how do they start? Once upon a time there was, and there was a dragon, and there was a knight, and there was this, and there was an elf, and there was this, and that's what it is. I mean, that's the story. So he did that. Tolkien did the same thing. C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of books. He also had a space trilogy. I don't know if you've ever read the space trilogy. But the space trilogy is amazing because there's 3 books that Palandria, Out from Mars, the Silent Planet or the Red Planet. I can't remember the names now. I read them 30 years ago, and it's a guy gets taken in a spaceship and taken to another world, and when he gets on this planet, what it really is, it's the Earth before the fall. It's the Earth without the fall. It's what it is. It's amazing stories. C.S. Lewis wrote a story. The bell hadn't rung yet, right? C.S. Lewis wrote a story called The Great Divorce. If you hear that, if you read that book, you think, what is it talking about, Great Divorce? He's talking about the division of heaven and hell. And he talks about people going to heaven. And people get taken to heaven, but they're not believers. And he shows their reaction of going to heaven. They don't want to stay. They get there, and the grass is too hard, and the sun is too bright, and this is what the book is about, and they want to get on the bus and get back. So he wrote books with a lot of analogies and things like that. So that's what he did. He did the Chronicles for his children. I mean, his grandchildren. Yes. So what we can see, right, what you're saying is, what we can see is sometimes books like The Hobbit, Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, there are people who could read those and see the Christian stuff in there. Books like Harry Potter, I don't think they're going to give you that kind of thing. And so I think people need to be careful on what they read. Human beings have always read fantasy and have always read science fiction and have always read stories. I think what C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were doing is wanting to write fantasy stories with a Christian viewpoint to them so that people might could see it. That's what they were trying to do. Well, we didn't get to it, did we? Well, let me just say this. Be careful in all this stuff, from the environment to Harry Potter to Dungeons and Dragons to Ouija boards to tarot cards to astrology. All of those things, when we look next time, we're going to look at the whole idea of fortune telling and Gene Dixon and some of that stuff. We're going to look at it. I heard Gene Dixon speak once. I got up and left. And I'll tell you why I left. And you'll probably be surprised why I left. But we'll talk about that next time. But there's some good stuff. Heavenly Father, help us as we continue to think through these issues, that we would be wise on knowing what is best. We know there are a lot of good things and there are best things. Help us to be careful. Help us, especially in the areas that we know are the occult and cults and all of those things, to stay away from those things. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Help us to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.